Times were tough, so I sold my soul. And I don't think I'll ever regain control.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Heroic Play Podcast. Today I'm joined by Luke.
Hello.
And Rich.
Hello.
We are going to go into some of the thoughts about the second six blacksmiths that have been released that we managed to pick up at SteamCon UK, and people at SteamCon US will have been able to pick up as well.
And on eBay for the handy price of about £150.
Yeah, and
180 I've seen them go for.
Yeah, so
scalpers.
Unfortunately, some people have put them on eBay and made a pretty penny. Like, that paid for your SteamCon weekend,
Didn't it?
But anyway, less of that.
Poor showing, but yeah.
More of, like, actually talking about models and stuff. We're also going to talk about some of our post-SteamCon thoughts, so we obviously did a few podcasts while we were at SteamCon, and we talked about bits like the seminars and stuff, but we'll sort of go over some of the things that we did do and what we kind of maybe wish we had have done if we didn't do it. And then bits about getting on with painting plastic models and stuff like that. And then obviously we'll look at what might be a tournament 10 for blacksmiths, and that'll mostly be led by Rich, as he's played nearly 20 games with blacksmiths already.
I've played about three.
I haven't played any, so I will be quiet and you guys can do some of the talking.
You're missing out, that's nice.
Okay, so thoughts on the second six so far then, guys?
Strong.
I think they complete the team.
They do complete the team.
Because me and Rich, because I got my pundit set up first six blacksmiths a little bit before SteamCon. Yeah. And then me and Rich had a few games against various guilds to just see how we could do. And our feelings after that was that a lot of them were, they were good, and there was lots of cool intricacies and nuances, but we didn't think they were that competitive.
Yeah, they kind of didn't feel well-rounded. Like, the six you were kind of shoehorned into using, they didn't quite feel like a team.
Yeah, so
they were quite mismatched.
Yeah, the first six box, like looking at the cards in front of me, feels like a fighty box.
It was, but then really, you had Ferrite and Cinder as well.
Yeah, it was majority fighters. Like, it's four fighters and two quite quick, sort of a bit janky players, really, isn't it?
It was a good way to display the type of things that the guild could do, I suppose.
Yeah, it showcases the whole Masters line them up, apprentices knock them down.
Yeah, and getting players out there with momentous seven damage is,
yeah, it was quite a thing,
really, wasn't it? Like, everybody was like, momentous seven.
Yeah, watching Iron and Sledge kill Cena was quite enjoyable.
Oh yeah,
it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I played two games against blacksmiths at SteamCon. One was versus Max, and he managed to get like Sledge to, like, Anvil did all of the Sledge setup, and basically he went momentous seven into Ghast, momentous seven into Ghast, and only because I'd healed like four before Sledge went in did Ghast survive it. But yeah, I was a bit like, that is horrible.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how easily it is to hit that momentous seven.
It's true. And to be honest, you kind of almost miss here. The first time someone says, well, that's a momentous seven,
you're like, hang on a minute.
Seven?
Seven. Oh, sorry, I'm tooled up. It's actually eight.
Yes. Oh. I'm sure you charged and it was a wrap. And you were like, oh, that's a momentous seven and a momentous three. And I'm like, oh.
Yes, that was with Iron, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was this momentous seven, then wrapped for the momentous four.
Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. It was definitely brutal.
So between the two of them, you can throw out quite a large amount of damage.
It was really fun. It's a good showcase. Ferroy is a fantastic player. Definitely.
The amount that she gets the ball, she scores. She literally does it that easy.
Yeah.
Cinder's a really, really interesting piece with a hot shot and also being able to blow the ball I kept going to great lengths just keep blowing the ball up against you when you're playing the hunters just because I could.
Yeah, this is it. No... Let's be honest, kicking off with Cinder and shooting the ball is still strong.
Yeah.
I remember playing, it was a very early morning game against Dave Mustin.
Right.
And against his Black Heart Union, I managed to score 3 goals and win quite convincingly.
Oh, did you?
I did. But that was between Bolt remote knocking down a player,
yeah.
Cinder remote shooting the player to get the ball back to Alloy, which was quite enjoyable, watching him just then sprint up the pitch and knock it in again.
Yeah.
It was very good. I think that leads on to the second box. I think they complete them.
Yeah. Mm. So I can't see why you would never not take Hearth and never not take Alloy.
We were saying, weren't it? Alloy is probably the strongest non-captain model.
Yeah, we've been talking about this quite a bit. Everyone knows I adore Flint, and I think in situations now, Alloy is better. But I think I was getting a lot of feedback when I was playing people at SteamCon, because I played quite a lot of games with blacksmiths.
Yeah,
and a lot of people were moaning about how broken Alloy is. But if you think about it, without Hearth, he is still only a 1-inch melee player with a tackle on 2. Mm.
I think it's just the versatility that he gets by having her on the pitch.
Yeah, by being able to come back on within 6, rob that 2-inch melee, and then charge and get stuck in.
Yeah.
He's just very fast, but he's no better than other strikers when he hasn't got Hearth around.
Alloy's fantastic, especially with Hearth putting on the instruction where they gain +2 net hit, so that means you automatically get your momentous tackle, anything else is gravy.
Which you might say Alloy's amazing, but that is a one-turn setup for your striker to then go and steal the ball.
Yeah.
So if you think about how amazing Alloy is, he kind of takes the place of 2 players, though, because Hearth, certainly in the games that I've used her for, doesn't really contribute a great deal other than buffing Alloy. She kind of sits around at the back, chills out, maybe gives out 2-inch melee to people. Do you know what I mean?
I can see her being a good crowd control piece in the middle if it devolves into a scrum.
Yeah, especially with the legendary to have like a 3-inch melee zone.
Yeah,
it's great for shutting people down, but...
Yeah.
I tended to find that the games were over by that point. Right. Like, Alloy would score early, die, come back on, score again, and by that point, you've kind of...
Yeah,
you're well through the game at that point.
Rolling, isn't it?
Mm.
I think one of the things that I was going to say about Alloy is having Back to the Shadows is really, really...
Yeah.
Like, I think it's quite a handy thing, because if you do manage to get a decent charge off, and you manage to do that...
If you get a cheeky wrap.
Like you're tackling a wrap for 1 damage or something like that.
Yeah, if you manage to get like 7 successes for a tackle, double dodge and 1 damage.
Yeah, I suppose.
You rob the ball.
You rob the ball and then you shoot and then you get back to the shadows and then run the length if you need to, and then he's 8 inches further away. So on a striker, I think that's a really cool ability.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's quite squashy though, like squishy. He's 12 boxes.
I think all of the apprentices are though, really, aren't they?
Yeah. Iron not too much. Like 2-2, he's easy to hit, but he is tough hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still 14 boxes though. I think 2-2 and 14 boxes probably doesn't save you.
No, but he's no harder to kill then than Ferrite, who isn't an apprentice.
True.
Mm.
Yeah, fair.
And to be fair, like Furnace on a 3-2 with 20 boxes isn't that tough to kill.
No.
Like, if you've got sort of like a Hammer or certainly Thresher.
Yeah.
That sort of player is going to die quite easy.
So, going back to what you were saying about people were complaining about the guild being seemingly overpowered.
Yeah, I was playing I can't remember the chap's name, but I was playing an Alchemists player.
Yeah,
it wasn't me.
He was playing Smoke Alchemists, so obviously not like a footballing team as much as a Midas Alchemists. And it was probably my 4th game with Blacksmiths, and I was kind of taking him apart a little bit. I was showing him all the new tricks, like Bolt's range knockdown, Cinder shooting people, popping the ball. And to be fair, at one point I even had Alloy with 2-inch melee, like holding Calculus, Mercury and a few others down because they couldn't move.
Right.
And he spent the whole game moaning about how broken these are. So I think the one that stuck with
that
me the
really
most...
In terms of... Obviously, from my office, I've only played about 4 or 5 games against Blacksmiths, but I found when playing, I would say Smoke Alchemists are probably their hard counter, to be honest. Lots and lots of low health exactly. Models easy to... that just surprised me a bit.
Well,
that
after,
he said
playing,
that,
after playing you a few times against your Smoke Alchemist, I was telling the guy what he should be doing against me. I'm like, dude, I'm like death three or four. Like, there's twos here.
Yeah.
Just throw
conditions
at me.
And move away.
And, like, a lot of my players have got 12 boxes, so just condition them
to do that in a turn.
And then run away.
Yeah.
But he wasn't taking it. I think the main port, the main thing that he was moaning about was how Vitriol was nerfed. Right. And now they've introduced Alloy, who does what Vitriol used to do.
No.
Right. No, no, this was his perspective.
No, that's
perspective.
Not, sorry.
This was his perspective. He says now that you've now got a 2-inch melee striker who can tackle very easily, run off and score.
And do some damage.
And do
well.
Some damage.
Mm, okay.
And basically, I did point out to him that Vitriol should never have been able to deal the amount of damage that she used to be able to deal for a striker.
Yeah, okay. So what I was going to say was how we mentioned that everybody's moaning about farmers seeming overpowered. However, if we were used to farmers already and something like the fishermen or the morticians dropped, which was what we said on the last podcast, then everybody would be screaming about how broken they were.
You imagine Obulus dropping now as a new player.
With stuff like Graves and Ghast.
And then, we've got Cossack, like, who can come in and just delete someone.
Yeah, yeah. Or like the memory and brain pan weird shenanigans and stuff like that.
Which is harder than it looks to do.
Yeah, it is.
But
still,
if that dropped as a new team, now everyone
like
would go,
those
my God.
Two team boxes dropped and everybody was like, well, that's a thing. Or like if you dropped the 12 fisherman players and you went, so you can field two teams that effectively have all 2-inch melee.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the world would be on fire over
those
things.
If you dropped Shark now with a watch me score, turn one, 2-inch melee, let's go.
And then everybody else gets a movement debuff after I've scored because I popped my legendary.
Mm.
It's very much the same thing. So I think what everybody is going to have to bear in mind is that it's going to be a bit of growing pains and that you are going to have to sort of against these teams for a bit.
You're going to have to lose against them a few times before you earn them.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you should just play to your own team's strengths.
Yeah.
And play to the weaknesses of your opponent. So, like, if I was playing my Masons, right, and someone dropped Blacksmiths down, I'd be like, okay, they've got a bit of armour, they're all low def. Let's play some football.
Yeah.
Let's go. Do you know what I mean?
But equally, like, Honour and Harmony can just delete any of these players in a...
Exactly.
10 influence, dual activation.
Yeah.
And they could probably be in a position where they can delete two players.
Yeah.
Like, in the right circumstances.
I probably wouldn't even change my six for this. Do you know what I mean? If I was playing against Blacksmiths, I would not change how I play whatsoever.
I don't think I'd change my smoke team at all.
This is
to be honest. I think the teams I play, when I've played, like, for example, Smoke Alchemist against Sea, it felt almost like easy mode, to be honest. Just moving away, doing it. I think one game I 12-0'd somebody, one game I 12-2'd. It was just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while they...
Don't get me wrong, I still
do seem
feel
cool,
quite strong.
And everybody's going to say they are pants on head broken, need a nerf. I think everybody just needs to suck it up a bit and give it 3 or 4, maybe 6 months, and they'll just be...
They'll just be another team.
But even though, that's having said that, these guys are out now... And they're going to be the new hotness till at some point in Q1 when we see rat catchers drop. And undoubtedly, the rat catchers, everybody is going to be going, oh my God, rat catchers.
Rat catchers,
to be honest, I think the comparison is Farmers 2 and Blacksmiths 2 are both available to people who were at SteamCon, right? Yet you don't see Blacksmiths at events.
I think because of all the farmers have been out a lot longer.
No,
so people who are doing it is they know. People, you know, before the set were coming out, were going, oh, Threshers broke, Threshers this, Threshers that. So then all these people bought the farmers, went, oh, I get to play Thresher now.
Yeah. Like, because all of the farmers were in the Season 3 rulebook.
Yeah, minus Wowman and Fallow.
Yeah, there was only two that weren't. So everybody's seen those, and people have been playing with those...
For a while.
Those farmers, like, because John's been playing... with Thresher sit for ages.
Paul Horton has as well.
Paul
he's been
Horton
proxying
has,
him for
like that,
a long
Don
time.
Westerland as well.
Yeah.
He's been playing with both of them in like casual games. And I think it comes down to it. Like, if you really want to play Farmers, you'll have been playing Farmers.
Well, I have my proxy set for a while that I've been playing people with now
this
and again. It's
yeah.
since like season three's dropped, and I think effectively we aren't seeing these as much because they haven't been out there in the world as much yet. Like, I would imagine over the next, like, I imagine there's probably going to be what, half a dozen tournaments between now and February.
Yeah.
Maybe across the country, and I would imagine that you're going to start seeing blacksmiths crop up at those. I'd be really surprised if you don't, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, lots of people were playing them in the tournaments at SteamCon as well.
Yeah.
I just generally played them in the casual area for quite a few games.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Tournament 10s, should we have a bit of a chat about that?
Yeah.
So,
seriously difficult.
Go on then, Rich, since you're the one who's got like 20 games under your belt.
I find it's really hard to... They all bring something.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that one 6 is stronger than the other when it comes down to picking your 10. Personally, I'd drop Iron.
Yeah.
I think he's just a bit of a victim. I think he's... Do you know what I mean? I don't think he brings enough for how easy.
For the 2-2.
For the 2-2. Yeah, okay, tough hide, but I don't see him bringing enough. And then maybe I'd drop Anvil.
Okay.
Which, coincidentally, is the nicest model out of the lot of them.
Yeah. Like, of the models I'm painting, I'm enjoying painting Anvil the most.
Yeah.
So it saddens me that I wouldn't be using him, but I fear I can do more with the remaining 10 than I can with those two included.
Okay.
So I went down the route of dropping Iron, because I think Whatever Iron does, I feel Sledge does a little bit better.
Yeah.
And Sledge has also got his long bomb kick. He can actually give himself a pile driver so he can gain. So it's easier for Sledge to hit that momentum 7.
And he's 2-inch.
And he's got a 2-inch melee as well.
Which surprises me if you look at his model.
Yeah. There's a little ammo. then.
It's what you do with it.
Potentially, Faris to drop. I really like him. I like with Anvil. I like his while the iron's hot, where he's got his dodge.
Yeah.
I really like his what's it called? So I like singled out, and also if I'm going for the punch game, then Anvil supports Sledge really well with his within 6 inches to gain basically a free pile driver.
Yeah.
That's to be honest,
that.
Faris only bolt gives only really directly benefits bolt.
Yeah.
Ideally, which is a free character play, but
she has got Sentinel for all apprentices.
Yeah, but Anvil and Furnace have got that as well. So I don't know. I've had a go with Faris. I love the idea of a model on a horse, but I think in actual game, I don't know how much I'd use it. I think I'd probably get a bit more mileage out of Anvil and Furnace, perhaps.
I agree.
Like my beta masters.
In the games that I used Faris for, I was very excited to get her on the pitch.
Yeah,
and then after my very first game, I'm like, what has she done for me?
Yeah.
Not a lot. Buffed bolt, ran around on a horse for a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'd probably have the 12 and I'd drop Faris and Iron potentially.
Cool. I think I would drop Iron and Burnish because I like the idea of being able to switch up between fighting and scoring. And I think that they kind of feel like a different skew on Masons.
Yeah.
Which I think probably why they've clicked so well with you, because like Masons have got that ability to turn on the heel and flip from I'm going for 3 goals to they've locked the ball down, I'm just going to punch people to death.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think they've got that potential, but I think probably you are telegraphing a little bit more whether you're going to be playing football or fighting when you drop blacksmiths. I think with like Hearth and Alloy, they're pretty universal.
They're going to be in pretty much everyone's.
I just said Hearth, Alloy and Ferrite are pretty much your...
Yeah. And then I guess you might take Bolt because, like, I'm Open is really useful for freeing up balls that you've had to lock. Like, if you've had to lock the ball down, but then a goal opportunity comes up, being able to have I'm Open available to you is
strong.
So strong. So
yeah.
I think I would drop Iron and Burnish.
Burnish is so good.
Like, yeah, I can see, like,
for the turn that you get three tooled up flame belches off, it's just amazing.
But again, I think it goes back to that being a bit of a trap. Like, you don't generate any momentum. You've not got any, like, momentous inspiration or anything like that on the team to do that. So, like, 4 influence and, what is it, a momentum to get a free character play or something?
No, you use his legendary.
So you get
an additional
free
right, okay,
play.
So you're using a legendary play and four influence for no momentum. But
for doing 12 damage.
For doing potentially 12 damage, which is effectively killing apprentices.
Yeah, I
ironically.
Guess.
Ironically.
Yeah.
I find burnish is very good into the mirror.
Yeah, fair. Mm. I can kind of see
reduction
it.
Strong.
Yeah. I suppose if you know your environment's going to be alchemist heavy, then maybe you would look at putting him in your 10. But I think for me, those two are the two that I
plus
would...
the model's growing on me. The more I look at the burnish model, the more fair. It really grows on me. And I'm really looking forward to plating and painting all the fire effects.
Yeah. I think if I was more talented, I'd have a go at converting iron, basically, because I think the model is awful. Like, sorry, but it's just a derpy as shit pose.
Yeah.
Like, the artwork made him look so cool, and the model was such a letdown. But
what was your comment, Rich, that someone nicked his horse?
Yeah, it looks like he's... yeah.
Farris is like, got your horse, bitch.
Yeah, this is it. This is it.
But yeah, so that's sort of tournament 10s that we feel. So I've painted Anvil so far, and that's about it.
I ain't painted basically. Nothing yet.
I've got all of mine base coated.
Yeah.
And I've put the metal down on six players, like cool. As in like the metal effects, like with just dry brushing.
Yeah.
It comes out really well. And I've painted a dirty grey Santa beard on Anvil.
Cool.
Strong.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Looks amazing.
How you find the plastics?
They're all right. I find the detail's not deep enough in some places. I know certain people have mentioned eyes, Max.
Max has said about eyes.
And I can agree with that. Like, Bolt, you can't see his eyes.
I think when Max is painting his blacksmiths up at the moment and he sends us pictures as he's painting them. And I think one of the things that he said is Anvil was really cool, but there's like a bit of depth missing on the chains that are by his stomach and stuff like that that he wishes was a bit deeper.
Yeah, a lot.
But I suppose there's limitations to one-piece plastics. And as it goes, they're not terrible.
They're not bad models. We're just used to probably the really, really high quality resin and metals that Steamforged have done.
To be fair, it does raise questions though. So they are one piece plastics, but if you look at, say, sort of like the mace on Farris, it does look like it wasn't moulded there.
Or the flight stand on Bolt.
And the flight stand on Bolt, it looked like someone has had to have stuck that down.
Yeah, it's a bit.
So I don't feel like that all of these plastic models are one piece.
I wish someone hadn't stuck Bolt on that flight stand.
That is going to be...
for painting and spraying purposes.
Mine's just covered in masking tape.
Fair. I've seen some people have sort of taken him off and mounted him...
to make him look like he's
jumping over like a hurdle almost sort of thing.
Well, I've seen the anvil from the train piece used, which is quite nice.
Yeah, so there's some quite cool conversions going on with that.
Because while I see that he's very fast, I don't see how he's jumping that high. it's quite a tall flight stand. So it's good.
I think the plastics are good.
They're
a lot better than the first farmer set. I thought the first farmer set weren't amazing. They were good, but I think they're improving. Like each set that's come out, they've got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my farmers look really nice now. They're painted.
But they're painted by Max.
So he makes everything look amazing. And he makes me feel like an idiot child when I pick up a paintbrush. I'm like, why am I bothering?
But, look what I painted.
Stick it in the fridge.
So... fair play. So we've done second six, painting plastics in general, tournament tens. So SteamCon,
what
did you think of it?
It was good.
Loved it.
Definitely enjoyable. I'm certainly going again.
Because that was your first one, wasn't it? And did you only do a day last year?
I didn't do a day last year. Mm.
Yeah. I'm trying to work SteamCon USA into my plans for next year.
Yeah. I saw you post that up earlier. You were like, maybe Canada could wait.
Yeah, I might postpone my trip to Canada to coincide with SteamCon.
So that'll end up being probably December, early December again, I guess, won't it? Yeah.
It was really good. Day one for me, I was quite tired. Because I had a six-month-old baby who kept me up all night the night before, so I had absolutely zero sleep, teething and cold. So then I drove Dave up with zero sleep, and Dave said I just wasn't talking to him the whole way. I got there, I was like... you alright?
I don't think Dave was complaining. I think he was happy about that.
Yeah.
Luke went and had a nap, basically, is what the end of this story is.
Yeah.
On like day one, and he came back about 3 or 4 hours later, and he looked like a changed man. He was like, oh my God, there's no being woken up by a small child. It's amazing.
To be fair, our strategy relied on going for a nap, because we wanted to get up early, get to the front of the queue, yeah, have breakfast, bang, bang, done.
That didn't really happen.
That didn't happen. We were playing some games. We were like, yeah, maybe we'll go for a nap later.
Never happened.
Didn't happen.
No. To be fair, I didn't really feel it was that bad.
I think when it got to like 2 a.m. and we were playing, then I was feeling it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Baby John championed it. He was up till 7 on the Friday night. Well, like the Saturday morning, and then went to bed.
Yeah.
Which was pretty bonkers, to be honest.
So I spent most of my thing, I spent a lot of the time just in the open game and just talking to people I've spoke to online, people I ain't seen. Because myself and Mark, we TO in a lot of tournaments, so we don't get to play. We get to chat to a lot of the players, but we don't get to talk to many.
Yeah.
No, we get to talk to a lot, but we don't get to play against a lot.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to play against all the people we've been talking to at the tournaments and that. So that was really nice.
Yeah, in a similar vein, I found it really nice being able to actually have more than a 5 minute conversation with people that you have a quick 5 minute conversation with between rounds at tournaments. Like, you sit and, like, you catch up with somebody at the end of their game, and like, you're like, how was your game? And they're like, oh, it went really well, or I got my shit shoved in. And then you have a bit of a maybe
so you
next
can talk
round
to people
then
about other things.
Yeah, yeah. And effectively, you games can, you can,
and you haven't got to have an eye on for other games going on, you ain't got to put results in.
Yeah,
and stuff.
You haven't got to go be sort of keeping an eye out for people going judge or whatever. Not that we get it a lot, but you know. So actually, just being able to sit down and chat with people and grab a drink with them and play some games was really, really good. I did a couple of the seminars. I did the Super Secret Squirrel, which was where we got to see. We got to see God Tier.
When you eventually got there.
Yeah, you turned up at the wrong one. But
yeah, I did. I read it. So I checked my email in the morning from when I'd booked it, and it was like, and I read it as 2, but clearly it was 12. Whereas you guys were at,
I was at 1 o'clock, and we went at 1 o'clock.
We did,
you know.
Yeah.
It's,
and I was like, I'll just rock up and see if I could get in. And Jamie was like, yeah, just come in. So yeah, it was good. Got to see God Tier and some other stuff.
Some of the other stuff looks really good, but I don't think we can.
I don't know how much we can say about it, but they've got Steamforged are doing really good work. There's some really, really cool games that are going to be coming out of them in the near future if they make it that way.
So I smashed the Rookie League.
Yeah, you did.
I've got my Rookie League card.
I did as well. I got a 5-5, ferrite.
Fair.
I've got my 5-5 Venom for the Alchemist. I want him to play for my team now.
Mustin got a 5-5 Fangtooth.
Yeah, so did Jace Mountain. I think, did they go the same way or did they go different ways?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
Mountain had the bunny hop in one.
Dave had bunny hop as well, I think.
Right.
Either way.
Yeah.
Bunny
hop,
side was very
bunny
good.
Hop Fangtooth was pretty bent.
Not as bent as 3-inch melee Ghast.
Yeah, Ghast was pretty terrifying, to be honest.
Yeah. The Rookie League was a bit. So do we think, I think we discussed on the Saturday night podcast just after the keynote that it'd be really fun for us to buy the Rookie League pack and then just do that as like a fun day event of, okay, so everyone's got starts on a 1-1. After round 2, you go to a 2-2 or what? Do you know what I mean? Something.
Yeah, try and work it out. So in the last round, everybody's on like their top level rookie, basically.
Yeah, we said like maybe on like where we do like a weekend where we have a 32 on the Saturday and then the Sunday have like a fun rookie tournament or something like that. Yeah. But it looks like it is a really fun thing. So I've got Venin, who's got True Replication.
Because that's balanced.
Yeah, with a 210 kit. It's only off a friendly model, you see. With a 210 kick. He's got a 6-inch aura. Anyone with the poison condition suffers an additional 2 damage. He doesn't suffer any condition damage. He's got a 3-inch aura for poison. Yeah.
It's not, to be fair, I did see the 5-5 salvo. And he had like an ability called
Headshot. Would he make it into a engineer's team now?
5-5 salvo. Oh, right.
Level 5-5 salvo. And basically, he had an ability called Headshot. It was like a 10-inch. It was like a 10-inch ranged shot, like 4 damage or something, and a knockdown or something.
That's
but when you've got Hoist in the team, you can't be giving things like that away. No.
Blimey.
No, not allowed. So Rookie Leagues was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think next year I'd like to do more of the seminars.
I think the only thing, criticism time, I think the PA, they remedied it towards the end.
Mm.
The PA wasn't great for telling you when seminars and that was starting.
Yeah,
so if you're in the tournament zone, you were getting clear thing
yeah.
of where it was, and then sometimes you get it and someone would go, I've just got back from that seminar. I was like, what? I wanted to go to that, and you kind of miss stuff, but by Sunday they had Bryce shouting.
Yeah. So I think if a bit of feedback maybe is instead of, because what it felt like was seminar for an hour, seminar for an hour, seminar for an hour on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Like you came out of the designer veteran one and then it went straight into the background one, I think.
Yeah.
I think realistically I would have done it like seminar, like start them at like 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then do a seminar for an hour off, another seminar, and spread them out throughout the day. So you've got the opportunity to nip out and go grab food or go, oh my God, this seminar was amazing. Make sure you come and have a look at the next one to your mates and stuff like that.
Because a lot of people just sat in a few seminars and then that was, and then by the time you realise there was a seminar on, it's halfway through the third one.
Didn't you have to book into the seminars?
No, the seminars you didn't. It was the Super Secret Squirrel.
And the Designer Sculpt and the Resident Evil demo.
The Designer Model was.
Designer Model, yeah. The Designer Sculpt.
Oh yeah, the sculpting was, like that was doing with Russ's brother, Ben, is it? I think Russ's brother was doing that outside the shop.
Yeah.
I think you had to book on for that, but then most of the things that were happening in like that Skyhook room were you could just walk in and as long as they'd got space they'd let you in basically.
Yeah.
To be fair, another minor criticism, better venue next year than that dingy Dungeon Underground.
Hopefully, yeah.
It was a great thing by going, oh, it's quite cool and quirky and that, but then
for the first day, when you're like, this looks pretty badass.
This really shitty light basement.
You get bored of the
appalling food. Appalling. Yeah.
The food was terrible. The food situation.
The prices
was really bad.
Were quite bad, but you expect that at venues.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the venue had a lot to be. Could have been a lot better, but overall, you know,
it's a great weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely
would come again.
Yeah, we'll pay money again.
Yeah.
As a thing, I suppose.
To be fair, for the ticket price, you got a lot for your money, especially with
the swag
prices.
Bag was great. And
the swag bag was good.
The swag bag was good, and also with the long shanks, that was great with the tokens and the prize support.
Considering the swag bag on its own was £30 when you could buy it out of the locker room.
It was just, I thought it was fantastic value. It was a great weekend. Mm. Wouldn't do again.
Yeah. God tier looks amazing.
It does look amazing.
Like, as the secret some of the models look fantastic.
We held
well.
Some of the models, they're so nice.
Yeah, so we got to see the Big Lizard Man, which I can never remember his name.
Big Lizard
and
Man.
And they've got
do.
The Big Dwarf.
Big Dwarf and Little Dwarves.
Yeah. And Little Dwarves.
And the,
got.
They had that Totem guy.
Yeah, the Totem.
The Totem guy was the model, but the,
but
the champion
companion
was
wasn't.
The was yeah. Granite, wasn't it, basically? Yeah.
It was the 3-up Granite or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to watch Matt Hart and Sherwin have a turn
of
it, and it was really, really good. And it
straight into the action.
Showed some of the mechanics. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be super interesting.
We can't wait.
Anything else?
We've got all the new minor guilds to look forward to in the new year because the Falconers came out.
Yeah, Steam. Yeah, they
announced
sort of Falconers at SteamCon US.
Mm. Announced all the new plastics for existing teams that could potentially come out.
Yeah,
we saw the fish, and there's also been leaks for Shank and Jaykar.
Cool.
Yeah,
I did see the pictures for those. They
look
good.
Yeah,
I'll have to have a look for them. But yeah,
anything that's going to keep Shank together.
The two teams that I've bought recently, secondhand.
Oh, gutted.
It doesn't really matter for me. I've got every team, so
yeah, sort of in the same boat there.
Yeah,
but on the bright side, I don't think they'll be re-releasing Masons or Butchers.
You've already got two Masons
and Brewers. They aren't going to be doing any time. They're not going to be high on the priority, I don't think.
God, no,
they're not.
Not with them being in plastic in kickoff already, and some of them got re-sculpted.
Yeah,
not the ones that needed it, but yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Brick got it, but Mallet needed it. Cool. He's still a weedy little man.
Yeah,
a big mallet.
So I think that's probably it for this evening.
Yeah.
Anybody got any other thoughts?
Got a tournament this weekend, but other than that, though.
Yeah.
If I can get in on that, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Good luck at that then. All right. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Times were tough. So I sold my soul.